Blog Talk Radio.
The ins and outs concerning your mortgage and how to manage your finances when owning a home. Now, here's your host, Rick Montgomery, with Mortgage Talk.
And good evening. Hi, I'm Rick Montgomery, and welcome to Mortgage Talk. We're here on a beautiful Friday. Glad to be here with you on a Friday as we are streaming and streaming nationally throughout the internet. We're streaming worldwide. We're streaming to over 200 countries that let us come into their neck of the woods. We thank you for being here on WHPNN Radio Network as we're streaming from through Blog Talk Radio. Happy and proud to be part of the family. Thanking you and yours for joining us here at Blog Talk Radio. Thank you to Blog Talk listeners who are indeed worldwide, and thanking them for tuning in, and thanking you, our media, our Facebook followers and friends, along with our Twitter and Instagram, and along with our LinkedIn, I think it is. Is what they call it? LinkedIn. So we want to thank you for you joining us here, and some of our listeners who has returned to us too. Thank you so much for you tuning in to Mortgage Talk. Glad to be here with you. I'm Rick Montgomery, your host of Mortgage Talk, and I'm glad to be here today with you on Mortgage Talk. Join me, of course, in the studio is our engineer, is Dave the Man. He's an engineer here at WHPNN Radio Network. I want to thank the other engineers behind the scene at Block Talk Radio, thanking them for the job, well job that they do there too, and ask them to sharpen up on our voice there so we can come out very, very clear when you are tuning in to Block Talk Radio. Thanking you very much down there for a good job that you guys do down there too, just as well. Thank you. Appreciate you wholeheartedly. Today I want to talk about the Title II mortgage. The Title II mortgage program. You know, we've been talking about mortgage programs for this month, and the reason why is because when I got this email, about a month ago, and then I read this article, it really kind of disturbed me that to find out that even in this times that we're in right now, but still there are still people that can qualify for a mortgage, and they were being turned down. Even those people have decent jobs, even their jobs on the Fortune 500 was doing good, but somehow, some way, they were being turned down for whatever particular reason. There are several reasons involved, as I mentioned it earlier, location, these zip code areas. I don't think banks should be discriminating, in my opinion, and not accusing them of doing so, but I don't know any that I can point a finger at. And if you do, don't hesitate to email me at mortgagetalk1, the number one symbol, at gmail.com. Send us what you have and your information, and then let me and my team go in and see what can we find. And if what we find false there, we'll put them on Jump Street Blast, because now we have evidence to prove to back up our allegations that we'll be pointing our finger at them. So we don't want to be pointing our fingers at anyone off of speculation or what we may think. But we can say over from what we have heard, not overall, but from the ones that we have heard in areas like Boston and in areas like Baltimore, L.A., they have been turning people down for mortgages. Now, not just there too, it's in other areas too, but from the articles and stuff that we've been reading and from the emails, it has been in those particular areas. So just stating that sort of kind of like stuck in a crawl with me. And so I was wondering, what can we do when there are so many programs out there? Understand something here. The federal government do not mandate a advertising budget to advertise for the programs that they come up with. Congress, whenever they pass a new program, do not advertise about this program. Now, I think it's sad. I really do. Because I think that they are the representative of the people,
and the representative of the district in the area, they should have that information in their district, in their pamphlet, in their newspaper article or newspaper from Congressman Smith that should be passed out through his district that would say what he's doing, what programs that he has come up with, and what new programs that's available. I think congresspeople should be able to do these things, but, you know, it doesn't matter what I think. I'm not a congressperson, so therefore, okay, thank you for your opinion, Rick. but I do think that that's what they should be doing, because this will help educate. And even if somehow, some way, they come up with, well, we're not getting the earmarks anymore, we're not getting the budget anymore, what about the community? What about the community center that's in your district? What about the churches that's in your district? That they can have information that people can go to and get in, and get this information. Not saying that a lot of communities don't have it, because they do, but not all do, and they should. Well, you know what? That's why we have shows like Mortgage Talk. That's why I'm glad that we have Mortgage Talk and many, many other shows like Mortgage Talk that can certainly give you good information about what's happening out there in the mortgage industry, good information about mortgage programs, so you can be aware of these programs. That's what I tell you. Tell a friend. Tell everybody that who you know that Mortgage Talk, one, is on the air. Mortgage Talk is on the air. We're on the air every Friday at 8:30 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com/mortgagetalk1. You can pick up, you can get us at 8:30. We're here on 8:30 here, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Shortly after Blog Talk, we go to speaker.com, and then we re-air the show on speaker.com. I do another show on speaker.com, so you can reach me, get me live. I do the show on speaker.com because it reaches out to many, many, many more people just as well. We're on Anchor FM, so you can get the word, can get out. But I need your help to help me to get the word out, not only about Mortgage Talk, but to get the word out about the mortgage program. I have many, many blogs, over 580 blogs that you can tune into and that you can get some good information. Yes, a lot of times things need to be updated for 2018, and so that's what we'll be doing. We'll be updating some of the things that we've already done in the past. But to give you a general idea of what you're looking for, especially if you're looking for a home, especially if you're looking to refinance, especially if you're looking for some foreclosure program, especially if you're looking for what type of paperwork is going to be at my closing, especially if you're looking for how to analyze property. We just did a show on that about last week. So you can either go to blogtalkradio.com/mortgagetalk1, and you can get that information, and you can tune in and scroll down and choose the blog that'll work for you and get the information that you need to help you in your mortgage need. So we want to talk about a program that you can use, a program that's going to be good for you, first-time home buyer, a program that's going to be good for you if you're struggling out there trying to find a mortgage program, a program that's going to be good for you if you're looking to make repairs on your property. I want to talk to you about this program. It is a good program, and I want to focus on this program with you here. So let me go in and start on the information. There's a lot of good information about this particular program here, and I want to talk to you about the program. The program is called Title II Mortgage Program. Title II Mortgage Program. This program is for homeowners that has a goal, because many people out there have a goal, but getting an affordable mortgage has been and can be difficult for so many people when they start out. So the Title II mortgage are designed to help. The Title II mortgage is designed to help them. This Title II program is backed by the Federal Housing Administration and were created
to make it easy for Americans to own their own home. Now, there are several versions. Now, listen now. There are several versions of the Title II mortgage program, which makes it great. It makes it affordable to those who qualify where they can be able to obtain this program. Having several versions make it accessible to a large number of people that where they're able to qualify for the Title II. The Title II mortgage, as I mentioned, that there's several types of them. The Title II mortgage, as I mentioned, can help people that has a difficult time in trying to find a mortgage. The Title II mortgage provides mortgage insurance issued by FHA and may also include other costs now that are not normally covered by a mortgage loan, such as money to cover labor and material for repairs to a home that you will buy. Now, qualifying for this Title II, to apply for a Title II loan, you need to have 2 years of steady employment, 2 years of full-time, 40 hours a week, steady income. Overtime is never a calculation, but is configured into your average. If you can show a consistency with overtime, not that overtime is only good for the summer, not that overtime is only good for the spring, not that overtime is only good for the fall. Usually overtime has a limited time of being issued, so therefore those figures are not calculated into the average so you can qualify, but it is calculated into an average of your cash flow during those particular times, and it's kind of configured in there that will help you after you have traditionally qualified with the 40 hours, okay? If, like many other companies, okay, about Ford Motor Company, that's a good company to talk about, some steel companies that offers overtime on a consistency. It's on a consistency. Well, then that overtime can be calculated into your average, okay? Now, if you have two part-time jobs is an equivalence of a one job in the eyes of many people. But part-time is what it is, and you got to understand that. No one is trying to discriminate against you. Part-time is what it is. Part-time is temporary. Well, I've been on my part-time job for 7 years. I've been on my part-time job for 10 years. Those are good jobs, especially if it's going to be in conjunction with a full-time job. Now that average can be and will be configured based on the length of time that you have been on the job, but it always depends on the position of the part-time job. But most part-time jobs, and I'm going to tell you something, overall, part-time jobs can go like a, just like that. And that's how lenders fear and look at part-time jobs. So when I say this, I got to be clear on this. This is to qualify for a Title II, you need a 2 year steady full time income. Okay? Now, again, that's why I said income. Even though the qualification status says employment, but it would also go with income. A lot of people have various income. They get income coming in from Social Security that's large along with their retirement. They get income coming in from annuity. Annuity income has to, you have to show the length of time of the annuity that you have. Most annuities is good for 20 years or longer. Those kind of incomes can indeed help you to qualify. A five-year annuity, it all depends upon the underwriter, whether they want to calculate that into your average. If it is, it can be used as extra going in and not used for primary structure to qualify it. Okay? So understand annuity. All right? Length of time of annuity indeed can help you to qualify. I don't have a job. I have annuity. I got my Social Security. I also got my retirement. Okay, how much is your annuity? I get over $2,500 on annuity. I get $2,000 on retirement. So again, when you have these types of income, you can indeed qualify, okay? I'm on my computer, and that's the background noise that you guys is indeed hearing from my computer. I don't know why it does that sometimes, but it does do that, okay? Now, getting back to the qualification, I think I kind of beat that horse down pretty good. A two-year full-time steady employment or a stable income. And now, no past due federal liens. Let me say that again. No past due federal liens, such as student loans or tax debt. Any court judgment against you must be paid, and all child support must be current. Okay? Your credit must have been stable or improving for the last previous 12 months. And any bankruptcy file must have been discharged for at least 24 months. Any foreclosures that's in your past must be at least 3 years old. Three must have taken place over 3 years ago. And you must have at least 12 months of on-time rent payment or lease payment. So they would do a verification of rent. So it's important for you to be able to show it on time of that, because you say, well, I'm sure on my credit. No, that's why when you go to a lender or a mortgage broker that I strongly recommend, because they can go through many, many, many programs that can definitely help you. But if you go through a lender on your own, even though brokers is going to do the same thing, you will fill out a verification of rent if you pay rent. You will fill out a verification of mortgage if you pay mortgage, and the verification of rent is sent to the landlord. Okay, and on the verification, he spells out the length of time that you have been renting from him, and he gives a history of that. Okay, so they'll show late payments if you were late. They'll show balances if you owe. You need to have these things cleared up, okay? Well, Ricky, what if I was late a few times in that? Well, even if you're late a few times in that, as long as you're currently current, and there's 12 months of on time. There's no exception to this now. There's no exception to this. So stop trying to kick in there. There's no exception to this. You need a 12-month on-time rent payment. On time. With no balances owed, as far as late charges and late fees, okay? That's for the Title II. Now, qualifying home type, okay? Many single-family homes will qualify. Many multifamily homes, such as 2 to 3 to 4 units, will qualify. Those are considered under the market of residential. This is a residential market, okay? Anything over 4 units is considered commercial. Okay, and that's a different monster and a different market, and this program do not fund under commercial, only under the residential market. Okay. The Title II mortgage, in addition to standard homes, other resident types can qualify too, such as condominiums, manufactured homes, and trailer homes. Okay. May also qualify for a Title II loan.
The home must have a permanent foundation, meet maximum size requirement based on its residential type, and be structurally sound and fit for a family residence. Okay? The loan process. The loan process, the FHA doesn't issue. Now, listen, this is important. FHA does not issue Title II mortgage directly. But even though they fall under the standard of FHA, and I talked just about a lot of different other programs, actually falls upon the guidelines. They actually take the guidelines of FHA and they use FHA guidelines, which have one of the best strong guidelines in the industry. Even we look at programs like the USDA, the USDA follows the guidelines of FHA. Okay? You got a lot of programs that does it. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, they pull the guidelines from FHA. They follow the FHA guidelines. Conventional loans, they follow the FHA guidelines. They may sprinkle some of their own little flavor in there, but the majority of the underwriting guidelines and majority of the guidelines of a structuring loan, packaging loan, selling the loan, all these things is followed under FHA. So FHA does not issue a Title II mortgage directly. You would need to check with a lender and find one that offers mortgage loans that are FHA backed through the Title II program. The application process is similar to that of a standard mortgage loan, though the lender will check to be sure that the home you're buying meets Title II requirement. Interest rates are often lower than you would receive without using the Title II program, and your repayment term may last for up to 40 years. You can get a 40-year mortgage loan, or you can get your 30-year, but you can go 40. So the repayment term may last for up to 40 years. You still may pay closing costs on the loan just as well. Mortgage insurance. Title II mortgage loans are protected by mortgage insurance issued by FHA. The insurance reduced the risk for the lender to assume when issuing the loan, make it easy for the lender to want to give the loan. Also, on the FHA guidelines, the lender takes away some of its higher criteria, making the program accessible for people with challenged credit, for people that have done some repairs on their credit and have the qualified income from which they can meet the Title II requirements, okay? This insurance reduced the risk for the lenders to assume when issuing the loan, since the insurance covers its losses if you default. That makes it so sweet and so easy. And this is why this program is just as good like the FHA program, because it is insured and they give lender comfortability. So they don't mind qualifying you. So you don't get that kind of thick lip redlining type deal, because they'll qualify you for this particular program. But it is your knowledge. That's why it's important for you, the educated consumer, the best customer, to know about these programs. Because if you know about the programs, if you know the qualifications of the program, if you do your research diligently and find the lenders that offers the Title II, backed by FHA or any other FHA program that you're interested in qualifying for, you have an understanding of this program. That's why it's important for you not only to listen to Mortgage Talk, and I thank you so much, but also to do further research, to go out and do additional research. Because when you do additional
research, you gain stronger knowledge into what you're looking for. At the same time, it helps you to stand firmly in your square when you are sitting there with the loan officer or the mortgage broker and able to articulate the program that you're interested in. Yes, you can listen to other optional programs they may have bring to the table because it could change your mind. But again, if you have done your research diligently, then you know that this is the program that you want. And so therefore, you have knowledge to know that if anyone is trying to mislead you on this particular program, at least you've done your homework. And so you know what the program consists of, the qualification of the program, the type of homes that the program will fit on, you know, the market in which was funded this program, which is the residential market. And so therefore you also know your credit score, you know what you qualify for, you know, a tri-merger report is pulled. Most of the lenders will take the middle score as your leading score. So the only question that you should be asking these lenders is, when you pull my credit and you pull the tri-merger, yes, it is true, do you consider the highest score program in qualifying me for this particular program that you may mention? Or do you qualify on the middle score? That's why it's important for you to know where all three bureaus is scoring you. Even if you take some off of TransUnion, you need to pull Equifax to see that what you have taken off or what was corrected on TransUnion, you need to find out, do they report on Equifax? Do they report on experience? And if they do, you need to make the correction there too. You already know this. When you have instructed them to make the correction, you have already alerted them that it's been recorded on all three bureaus. So please correct all three bureaus. They're not connected together. They're independent LLC companies. Okay, these bureaus are not part of the federal government. They're independent LLC companies. Okay? They're independent. So you have to go independently through them to get the correction that they need. Remember now, they're governed by the Federal Trade Commission. They're governed by the Federal Trade Commission. So you have your backup in case you get the runaround, in case they don't respond to your first letter. So you give a second 30-day letter length of time for the correction to have been made. Now you have 60 days that nothing has been done. You can take those letters, those copies of those letters, those proof that you FedExed to them with your tracking number, then et cetera, and copies of signature, and you send that in with your address to the Federal Trade Commission, asking for justice, asking for demand, making demand. Not asking, but making demand that this need to be corrected because it is causing you problems in this process. Now, the Federal Reserve is going to give them 30 days to comply. And if they fail to comply or fail to meet a proven factor, then they will activate the alternative credit file and move the credit that is actually yours onto the alternative credit file and file that particular current credit file as second. You do know, and in case you don't know, I want you to know that each bureau provides you with three credit reports. Each TransUnion, there you have three assigned to you. You can't activate it. There is no such thing as deleted data. Understand that. There's no such thing as deleted data. So if you are proficiency on data, and when you get a letter from them saying that we have made the correction, Mr. Carter, please check your credit. Here's a copy of your credit report. If it meets your satisfaction, if you have any other questions, please contact my office at blah, 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 Equifax, okay? In your eyes, you say, oh, man, they deleted this off the bureau. Good. I'm telling you that in the United States of America, there is no such thing as deleted data. All they do is activate the alternative credit file and move the primary credit file to third place,
taking the third place file to the second place, and taking the second place file, putting it in first place, and putting all of the data on that that is actually yours onto that file. And in your eyes, everything has been corrected. So I just want you to know how it actually truly functions. Okay? Now, let me move on because I don't want to get off track here. Just recapping, the mortgage insurance definitely provides a lower risk for lenders, making this program so accessible for them to want to give it to you. Under the program, asking lender to lower some of their own criteria that will help you to qualify, especially those that will qualify with unique credit. Okay, let me say it that way. Okay, so the insurance reduced the risk for lenders to assume when issuing a loan, since insurance cover the losses if the individual default. Okay, because of the insurance, the Title II loan requires as little as 3.5% of the cost of a home that you're buying as a down payment, kind of like FHA. Okay, remember now you've done the FHA guidelines. Okay, you like the FHA loan. Since the insurance is issued by the Federal Housing Authority through an FHA program, the cost of the insurance is typically added to the mortgage, so you won't have to pay a separate insurance premium. Now let's talk about the repair aspect. So you don't have to buy no separate insurance premium because it's going to be added to the mortgage. That I'm not talking about homeowners insurance, guys, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. That's not homeowners insurance. You still have to obtain homeowners insurance, okay? You still have to get homeowners insurance. All right. One advantage of the Title II mortgage is that the cost of the repairs, a fixer-upper, for an example, can be absorbed into the mortgage. Say that again. Somebody missed it. Okay. One advantage of the Title II mortgage is that the cost of repairs, such as you find a house that's a fixer-upper, the cost to fix that house up, that figure can be absorbed with the loan into the mortgage. Okay? Because they can estimate what the property will be worth once they have met the expectation of being fixed up at 100%. Okay, so when taking out a loan for a home in need of repair, you can include the cost of materials, the labor cost, and the amount that you borrow, and still have full mortgage amount covered by FHA mortgage insurance. This is designed to encourage urban renewal and the purchase of property with the intent of repairs and remodeling them as primary residence. Okay? Now, what you would do in cases like this, what you do is that you would get a three estimates of what it would cost. You make the choice on which one that you want to go with, but you need to have three estimates, three licensed and bonded, because they got attached proof of this stuff. Okay, so such and such builders is going to do this, and the proper documentation will be issued to you, especially if you have a mortgage broker. So I strongly recommend mortgage brokers, but you can go to a regular lender to get it. So they'll be issuing you the right kind of documentation that you need to have for your builder to fill out once you made the choice, once you made the decision, once you have chosen the builder. Most builders know this, so they give you their letter, copy of the license, bond, and all the good stuff. They give you a full package, reference, and everything,
Okay, so they give you, a lot of them do that. Some of them try to be skeptical because they don't like to give all the information out. Usually those are the smaller builders. Okay, those are the ones that, you know, not quite known yet. Okay, they've either been out for about 3 to 4 years, and so they're a little skeptical and a little leery in giving the information out. They want to know that you have not only chose them, and that you sign an agreement with them, and then they'll give you whatever you need based off your signature of the agreement. Please understand that this is incurred in the loan, so there's no side deals that can be made by you and the builder. The builder cannot go on title. Listen, this is important. The builder cannot go on title with a separate loan from the original agreement that you have. Most of FHA loans requires not only that FHA be the primary on the loan, in which all lenders will be, but they also put a stickler on there that there is no secondary liens on the property unless pre-approved by FHA. And this is backed by FHA, okay? So you know that the lender is going to be asking for it because it's going to be part of the stipulation because they follow FHA guidelines, which means what? So if you listen to Mortgage Talk all of this month, you know where I'm going with this. You already know where I'm going with this, which means that how did I find a lender, Rick? Which means that for those of you that are new tuning in, thank you so much for being here, which means that you can go on FHA website and get the qualifying lenders that have signed up with FHA, been trained by FHA. Now, this program is backed by FHA, which means that they are signed up to issue programs like this. Okay? So you can go on FHA.gov, federalhousingadministration.gov, or you can go under HUD/FHA.gov if you go that route, or you can go to FHA.gov, and then you'll be able to /lenders. And then the lenders that have signed up with FHA, and there are so many, And I believe that the website allows you to put in your zip code, and so to help you to narrow down lenders in your particular area, okay? And so you should be able to do that. So not only do you know about a program, you've been educated briefly on a program that you're going to go out and do what? Further research. To get further information, and you can go look up Title II mortgage.gov. They even give you comparison from the Title I to the Title II. As I said, there are several versions of Title II. So that's for you to go out and do some research. There it is. For you to go out there and do some research, because maybe the first Title II program criteria don't fit you. So you don't have to walk away, oh, that didn't fit me. I thought it did. Let me go on. Let's find something else. No, you don't. You can go and look at the second version, the third version, the fourth version, the fifth version. Remember, there's several versions of this, okay? So you can go to HUD or go to FHA, and then you should be able to go out there and find which one of these versions is going to work well for you. Which one of these is going to fit your criteria? And then you can go for that Title II. That's what makes the Title II mortgage program so wonderful. Having these several versions gives a large audience base, gives a large people base of new homeowners, homeowners that are looking to refinance, to make repairs. There's several versions of this program. And so one of the versions of the program is for people who already have a mortgage in which they can go and refinance through. They're already on an FHA loan. They already have an FHA mortgage. So they want to go through and they can refinance on the Title II mortgage program to make some repairs, okay? Yeah, you can do some streamline. Mostly streamline, FHA streamline is not. That program is not built for repairs. That program is just designed for people who just want to lower the interest rate. You got everything together. You got opportunity to lower your interest rate by a point and a half or so because it has to be a tangible assessment. There has to be a tangible agreement there. There has to be a reason for the refi. And so Streamline normally helps you to refinance for a lower interest rate, okay? I did talk to you about the graduate payment loan program. So for some of you who's on a conventional loan, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac type loans, can I go for a Title II mortgage? I saw where they didn't have any restrictions in there, but again, that's why there are various Title II. Some of them may restrict you, some of them may not restrict you, but I talked about 2 weeks ago the graduate payment loan program that you can refinance into that program, and that program can indeed help you under the graduate payment loan program, okay? I talked about that 2 weeks ago. This is a full loan payment, would make your money a bit tight. Let's say that your money is a little bit tight, but you have a reasonable expectation that your income is going to increase within the next 5 to 10 years. You may qualify for the graduate loan payment on your Title II mortgage. The graduate payment loan starts. Okay, this is part of the Title II. Let me start this again. Okay, the graduate payment loan. If a full loan payment would make your money a bit tight under the Title II mortgage payment program, but you can reasonably expect your income to increase as the year go by, you may qualify for a graduate loan payment on your Title II mortgage. The graduate payment loan starts off with a minimum monthly payment, then experience an increase in payment amount each year. A little bit different from what I talked about 2 weeks ago, but very, very similar. As you continue to make more money, your mortgage payments will adapt until you're making a full payment each month. So you will have a negative amortization under this. So even under the Title II mortgage, the graduate payment program can plug in as if it's a missing piece. It can just plug right into that if it's a missing piece. If you're on a conventional loan and you want to refinance into the Title II mortgage program, you can. If you're on a conventional loan and you just want to refinance into the graduate payment mortgage program, you can do that too without going into the Title II. You can do that too. So give you the options about these graduate payment program that I love a lot, that it helps out so many people, okay? Now, please keep in mind that FHA has loans especially for condominium units, okay? The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development do offer loans just for condominiums, okay? Just want you to know that. If you'd like to offer loans just for manufactured homes, too. All right, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development funds for a handyman special and a fixer-upper. So they have programs for that, too. The Title II, it just has to be one of those type of programs. Okay? So it gives you something that you can indeed know that you have from the Federal Housing Administration. They offer a lot of good information, a lot of good stuff that could assist you in your home buying, okay? Can indeed assist you for what you need to have, okay? So, just recapping on what we talked about, just recapping. Technically, the home mortgage loan guaranteed by the Federal Housing Administration can also be called the Title II loan. Okay. While the original law was relatively limited in its scope, in today's market, the Title II loan program insures homes all over America. The Title II of that law creates a almost like a immunity. It is good because it helps homeowners no matter where you are. So there's no restrictions that you must be in a rural area, that you must be in this particular area. There's no restrictions on that Title II. Okay, so because the Title II makes sense. It makes good sense for people out there that are looking for homes, make good sense for people so they can know, okay? So even if you are choosing a fixer-upper, you can still qualify for the Title II. Just remember, there's on the FHA, okay? So you still must meet the 3.5% down payment of it, okay? So you must meet that because it's under FHA. HUD offers insurance on loans of up to 40 years. They do offer that. Hold on one second here. My computer is, there we go. Okay. Condominiums. People buying condominiums can apply for mortgage insurance through the Title II 234C program. Let me say this again. Condominium. I want to get specific. That's why I'm giving you specifics on here. Under condominium, people buying condominiums and they want to apply under the Title II loan program. It will be the Title II 234C program. Okay? The insurance will protect the loan up to 30 years now, up to 30 years. Lower-income rental might apply for the program if their landlord converts their apartment into a condominium. So that can work for you, too, if you know that your landlord is going to be converting where you stay in into a condominium and you intend on buying, okay? Is that something? So kind of give you some real interesting highlight. Let's see here. So moderate income, the mortgage insurance on loans of up to 40 years. So companies and nonprofit agencies can build housing for the elderly people of moderate income. Application for a Title II 221D program must construct building with at least 5 units. So this is when you're going into 5 units now. Remember I said that there are several versions of the Title II? Well, this is one of them, the Title II 221D program. The Title II 221D program. You can go up to 40 years on this program, and if you find a 5 unit, you can apply for this program. It's a different monster, but yet you can apply for this program. Okay, and that is for the Title II 221D program for units that are 5 units. Okay. Well, I'm not going to give you all of them. You'll be able to, I gave you 2 of them, really. You should be able to go and get some information. Now, remember now, the graduate payment plan, because you found out that the payment is going to be a little bit too high, you feel, so you want to add in the graduate payment program under your Title II. Well, that graduate payment program under the Title II is the Title II Program 245, the Title II Program 245 mortgage that starts small, then increase each year during the long term. So you can get that, which is like a missing puzzle. You can fit right into that, and so you'll be able to get that too. So a lot of good things to help you. It's a lot of good stuff to help you because to help you get a mortgage when you're looking for a mortgage, there should be no reasons that anyone should walk away and feel that there's nothing out there for them, there's nothing that they can get. I got to wait a year. I got to wait 2 years. You don't. No, you don't. What it is just basically lack of knowledge. It is basically lack of knowledge. You need to be able to know what programs is going to be suitable for you, what programs that you need to have in order for you to qualify for. And once you know these things, once you have this down and once you know these things, then you'll know exactly what to do to continue your research, getting all the information to stand firmly in your square when you go to sit down with a lender or even talk to an underwriter or even talk to a mortgage broker. You know what program is going to work for you. You even know that even after the payment has been given to you, you say, oh, well, you know what? Yeah, I mean, I can probably meet that payment, but I really would like to get that graduate payment program attached to the Title II. Now, keep in mind, now that is a negative amortization program. So if you don't know about that program, it is a separate program by itself, but it can be plugged into the Title II, just like it can be plugged into the Title I program. Go back to blogtalkradio.com/mortgagetalk1 and go under the program that I have listed there, which is the FHA graduate payment program. Is what has it? Yeah. FHA graduate assisting mortgage payment program. HUD has it as the HUD mortgage assistant program, and then of course FHA has it also as the FHA graduate payment mortgage program. Okay, and so I talked about that almost 4 weeks ago. So you can go to blogtalkradio.com/mortgagetalk1, scroll down, get that program, listen to that good information on that program. You can go out and do further research to grasp a fully understanding of the program. Just remember that we're here to as that light bulb, to be a spark to you, to be a person that's going to help you stand firm in your square by giving you good information. Because remember that Mortgage Talk is under the umbrella of Information Center, where we give you nothing but the facts within the facts, none of our own personal opinion, just the facts. And you, too, can stand under the Information Center, because the Information Center, with all information about anything that you want to learn, is at where? The library, your local library, has nothing but information. Not the Internet. Your local library to do your research properly. Now, that's going to really help you to stand very, very good in knowledge on the programs out there. It is going to give you questions that people have asked, because you may have these questions may arise now or later on, and already you know the answer to the question, because you've done your research and the research provided you the answers to the questions. Okay, what is it for us here on Mortgage Talk? Talking about the Title II mortgage program. I hope that this program can work for you, and I hope that you will do some research on it and get out there and get your piece of the pie. Don't you let nobody tell you that you can't do it. Don't let nobody tell you that you have to wait. You don't have to wait. Yes, there are certain circumstances that can provide people to wait, you know, loss of job. Okay, that's one of the major circumstances. They don't have no other source of income to come in. Yes, that's a wait process. I'm on unemployment. I get, yes, that's a wait process. That's all the income that you have coming in. You're going to have to wait. Those are wait, natural, common sense wait processes. But when you qualify, job-wise qualify, income-wise qualify, credit score-wise qualify, there's no sense for you to wait simply because one bank or two may have turned you down. One lender or two may have turned you down and gave you their particular high standard points of reasons that made you say, oh, man, maybe I need to wait another 2-3 years. That's where I'm telling you, you don't have to do that. It's all about knowledge, and it's all about programs. And there are many HUD programs and FHA programs and Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae programs out here that can help put you into the house of your choice, and you, too, can gain the American dream. So don't give up on the dream. Don't give up on the dream. Thank you for joining me on Mortgage Talk. Don't forget, tomorrow on WHPNN Radio Network will be Club Saturday Night. It'll be hosted by the Jam Master of Soul, as they're going to give you nothing but some good old-school jams. If you love old-school jams like I do, you're going to tune in to Club Saturday Night. They're on at 11:30. You can get them on speaker.com/WHPNN/8501-589. You'll get Club Saturday Night at 11:30 tomorrow. 3 hours of some good old-school jams hosted by the Jam Master of Soul, so you get a chance to listen to nothing but some good old-school jams. That is tomorrow at 11:30. And just go to speaker.com and you can pick it up. That's speaker.com/WHPNN/8501-589, and you can get them live. You can even call in and talk. If that's what you want to do, you'll get them on speaker.com. I'll be back next Friday, if it's good Lord's will, and I'll be here with some good mortgage information and program for you again, helping you broaden your horizon so you have more programs that you can look at and search on and see which one's going to work for me. So get excited. Get excited. Get excited. Because there is no wait. There is no wait. Knowledge is power, baby. There is no wait. And that's what Mortgage Talk wants to be for you. We want to be the shoulder for you. You know, we want you to know that there are programs out there that can help you, and we're going to do our best to keep giving these programs to you so you can put them into your arsenal and use them at your need, at your discretion, for your goals, for you to acquire the American dream. God bless you so much, and thank you. Thank you. We love you. We'll be back next Friday at 8:30 right here on blogtalkradio.com/Mortgage Talk 1. If you just joined us and you missed what we talked about, don't worry. Just wait 5 minutes and then go back to blogtalkradio.com/Mortgage Talk 1, and you can listen to the show again. God bless you, and thank you for listening to Mortgage Talk. Thank you.